Be seated. As we prepare for this morning's scripture reading, will you bow with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? O God, allow us your wisdom. Show us your light. And through your love, draw near to us, reveal your truth to us, and teach us faithfully to obey your holy word. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll read verses 13 through 25. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 25. So prepare your minds for action. And exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God. And you have placed your faith and hope in God, because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, living Word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. These verses may sound somewhat familiar. We went through the book of 1 Peter, and this scripture we used the first Sunday. We were online, and we were doing it better than we had been doing it. And at that time, we were using this as a way of offering comfort as COVID was beginning to grow, or at least our knowledge of it grow. We were still trying to understand what was going on, trying to get a handle of what was going on, and these words of Paul, I thought, might be a comfort to us. But this morning, I hope that these words are a word of hope. Now, we spent the last 6 weeks on themes of the Christian New Year. We've talked about how the Christian calendar changes with the beginning of Advent, which is the beginning of the new Christian year. So we've gotten a head start on other people. By 6 weeks, we've had time to live into a new year. And now we move from Advent into Christmas, and then this week we move from Christmas to Epiphany. An Epiphany is an observation in the church commemorating the time when the Magi came and worshiped the baby Jesus. For us, it's the ending of Christmas. For those in the Eastern Church, it's when they celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's their Christmas. And since I understood that, I've been a little jealous of those in the Eastern Orthodox Church because they get to take advantage of all the after Christmas sales for their Christmas, even though all the after Christmas sales are still during the time of Christmas. Shows my greed, I guess. I don't know. But Epiphany is the time when we in the Western Church recognize the coming of the Magi, the first time Jesus is recognized by those outside of the Jewish faith. But Epiphany has several meanings. It's an appearance or a manifestation, especially of a divine being. That's typically what the Epiphany Sunday or Epiphany Day is focused on, is the appearance of the divine, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. But it also has this meaning of an intuitive grasp of reality through which something, such as an event, usually simple and striking. Or it's an illuminating discovery, a realization or disclosure. It's a revealing scene or moment. And I hope that as we begin a new calendar year, as we live into January and February, that there will be some things, an event, an encounter, where we grasp reality through something simple and striking. That something is illuminated to us, that we realize, or something is disclosed, and this scene or this moment draws us closer to the triune God. So Peter is writing to a group of Christians who have been persecuted because they are Christians. And he calls them to live a holy life, not to shy away from what they had been taught, not what had been preached to them, but to live more fully into it. And I hope as we begin a new calendar year that we can more fully live into what we have been taught, what we have been told about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. As Peter writes in this passage, one of the first words that he uses is prepare. Prepare yourself so that you can live into a holy life honoring God. Now, for Peter's audience, they would have understood this word picture that he's painting, and we lose it through translation, and we lose it because we don't live the same way that they did. But the word picture Peter is painting is of a man who takes up his robe. He grabs the bottom loose ends and he tucks it into his belt so that it looks a little more like what we would consider maybe shorts or pants, so that he can do some sort of physical activity. He takes all the loose pieces of his robes and makes it so that they won't get in his way. They won't trip him up as he begins to prepare for maybe physical work, maybe an athletic activity, or maybe it's he's having to fight, but he's gathering up the loose pieces and tightening them up so that they don't get in his way and trip him up. As we look at a new calendar year, maybe a new school semester, a new fiscal year, a new whatever, how is it that we prepare to live a holy way? What are the loose ends that we need to gather up and tuck in so that they don't get in our way and trip us up as we prepare for living a holy life? How are we preparing? And what are we preparing for? Peter then calls us to put all our hope in the gracious salvation that will come when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Hope in the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. not in anything else. Salvation is not something we can earn. We cannot earn it by doing good works. Salvation cannot be bought. We cannot steal it. It can only be given to us from Jesus. And it's a gift we must receive. And because we have received this gift of salvation through the death of Jesus Christ, we are adopted into His family. And as children, we live in a way that shows others who our Father is. We act more and more like our Heavenly Father so that people see God in us. Some may not be able to put their finger on it. They may not be able to put it into words, but they know something is different about us. For those Peter was writing to, those in their community saw them different. But they often put a negative spin on what they saw. They couldn't understand it, and so they thought the worst. They saw that these Christians lived differently, and they caught bits and pieces of their conversation or bits and pieces of their liturgy, and because they didn't understand, they came up with their own understanding of these Christian beliefs. I've mentioned before that those outside the Christian faith thought that Christians were atheists. Now, an atheist is someone who does not believe that there is a God. We know that these early Christians were not atheists. They worshiped one God. But in the minds of those outside the Christian faith, they could not wrap their minds around only worshiping one God. So it made sense to them, because they did not worship multiple gods, they were atheists. Christians were also thought to be cannibals. We know that not to be true. But those outside of Christianity heard Christians repeat the words of Jesus as they gathered for communion. "This is my body broken for you, take and eat. Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood." They thought these Christians were eating flesh and drinking blood, and so they assumed these Christians were cannibals, pushing them even further to the outside of society. They thought that Christians were incestuous, and we know that not to be true. Those outside of Christianity heard Christians call each other brother and sister, but they knew that they were married. Or they would see singles call each other brother or sister, and then they would get married. And so, because they didn't understand that, they believed that they were now a part of a new family and called each other familiar names. They believed these Christians were doing things that were not appropriate in society. Those outside of Christianity saw Christians living differently. They caught bits and pieces, and they made up their own beliefs and understanding about what Christians believed and what they did. But these Christians were trying to live a holy life. Do those outside of Christianity see us? And do they think something different about us because we are living a holy life that is different from the life society is trying to get us to live into? They saw Christians living differently and came up with their own understanding. We are to live differently, even if it means we are misunderstood by those outside of Christianity. Peter echoes Leviticus 11:44 as he reminds his readers and he reminds us, "We are to be holy because I am, God is, holy." We've been adopted into His family. And because we've been adopted into His family, we are to be like our Father. We're to live a devoted life to Him, a holy life. We believe, and so we realign our lives to God. And those outside of the Christian faith have a hard time understanding that sometimes. Why we would do some of the things we would do as followers of Christ and not do some of the things that we do because we are followers of Christ. We're called to prepare. We're called to hope. We're called to believe in Jesus as the only one who can offer us salvation. And we're called to love. We are to love not with an all-permissive love that has begun to permeate our culture. We are to love, and that love sometimes has to say no. That love sometimes has to say that is not right. That love sometimes has to say you are incorrect. But it's a love that loves in order to bring about a realignment to God, not only in ourselves, but in the lives of others. We are called to live a holy life. We're called to live a life realigned to God that may mean others see us differently. But as we begin a new January, as we have a first Sunday in January and 51 more ahead of us, how are we loving? Are we loving with a love that God has? Are we loving with a love that the world has? Who are we believing? Are we believing those things the world says? Are we believing those things that God says? Where is our hope? Is our hope in Jesus, or is it in something else? And what are we preparing for? How are we living? How are we loving? How are we believing? How are we hoping? And what are we preparing for as we begin a new calendar year? Will it be different than last year? I hope so. Will we be more Christ-like this year? I hope so. How will we prepare, and what are we preparing for? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, you are a God of transformation. You're a God of second chances and a God of redemption. And you call us to live holy lives. We thank you for sending Jesus, Emmanuel, to teach, to live, to die, and ransom us from the empty life we have inherited from a fallen world. And you give us hope in Jesus' resurrection. We hope to start with a clean slate, a clean life, so that we can live for you this year. Work in us as we renew our commitment to you. Work in us and realign us so that we can live for you. We pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.